Okay, so are we ready?
Yes.
Cool.
We're ready. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for three individuals who will be coming up here to be speaking about various issues regarding the youth ministry. First, we're going to have Kelsey. Then she's going to be followed by Chloe, and Linda Robinson is going to be wrapping up at the end. And what I want to do right now is that I want to lift up a prayer on their behalf because, you know, I know you all are looking at me from the television inside there. I'm going to tell you a secret. They're a little bit nervous. Okay? They're a little bit nervous. So let's pray, please. Our Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, Holy Father, hallowed be your name. God, we are in your presence. We are in your presence because you've commanded us to come together. You've commanded us to worship because this is who you are, great God. It's not about us. It's about giving you all of the praise and all of the honor. So we are gathered here this day, great God in heaven, on this special time when we have the opportunity to listen to three of your children. Three of your children bring a message today that's directly from you. They've prepared themselves. They've had you in their minds and in their hearts, great God in heaven. Holy Spirit has been washing them and preparing them for the time such as this. So we ask, great God, that not that the nervousness go away, but that you be present with them, that you would inhabit the praise that they bring before your people, that you would speak every word through them, and that you would use them as conduits, great God in heaven, by which your word will be brought. We ask, Holy Father, that as they speak, that you would inspire the words, that you would inspire the listening, that you would help each of us, great God, to take from each of these messages what you intend for us to take, Father. And also, great God, we ask that you would bless them because they volunteer, they put their hand up and they said, here I am, Lord, send me. So we are thankful to you, great God in heaven, for this opportunity. And we thank you for it, we praise you, and we give you all of the honor and all of the glory, because it all belongs to you. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Our first message is going to be brought to us by Kelsey Barker. She is a sophomore attending Homewood Flossmoor High School, and she is going to be a pediatrician / vet when she gets big. Okay, when she graduates from college. So at that point, I guess I can retire. So ladies and gentlemen, she's going to be giving us a message, and not necessarily entitled, but about what is it that we stand for. So please, Kelsey Barker.
Good morning, church family. What do you stand for? Many people stand for many different things. Some people stand for morals, integrity, character, honesty, compassion, and mercy. The four main topics I'll be going over today are compassion, character, mercy, and integrity. So let's start with compassion. The definition of compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others. Although you don't have to be sympathetic to show or have compassion, you can be loving, you can be kind and caring, and even be tolerating. When it comes to showing love, it does not mean you actually have to do an action. You can do simple things, just like listening to someone speak about something. That shows how much you care and how you are willing to listen to them, and that makes people feel good and know that you are listening. There's a story that some of us have heard called The Parable of the Lost Son. If you have not heard the story, I'm going to give a little summary. A man had two sons. The younger son decides to ask his father for his inheritance. The father decides to give it to him. His son leaves the house and wastes all of his money. The son gets a job feeding pigs, and for the Jews, that's the lowest of the low, because Jews don't touch pigs, they don't feed pigs, they don't work with pigs at all. Finally, the son, in all his shame, decides to go back to his father's house and maybe be able to become one of his servants. The father sees his son walking toward him and jumps and runs towards his son with open arms and welcomes his return. The older son gets mad and refuses to celebrate. However, the father tells the older son that soon he will inherit everything, but for now let's celebrate the return of my younger son because he was lost and now he is found. See, the father showed a lot of compassion and mercy for his son after all the bad mistakes he had made. But even though love isn't as strong, but even that love isn't as strong as the love God has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. The blood shed for our sins was the greatest example of compassion showed toward us. And we should be thankful and never forget what he did, has done, and continues to do for us. My next topic is character. Everyone has character. People sometimes think of character as something a person has or doesn't have. They may say he or she has character, meaning they have good character. We sometimes recognize the truth that everyone has character and we end up putting it in two categories, good or bad. What are character qualities or character traits that make up a person's character? We probably would use such words as honesty, integrity, dependability, and loyalty. It has been said that character is the foundation for all true success. A person may have money, position, and power, but without character, they are not truly successful. Our character is what really determines our success in any area of life. Our character guides our responses to any situation or circumstance in our life. It is why we do the things we do, and it is why we do things the way we do them. Since how we respond to the various things that come up is what will determine the results we get, it follows that the success we have in anything is determined by our character. So how would we define Christ-like character? The thing that makes the difference in Christian character is that we are answering for God foremost. Christian character is character lived out in the reverence for and respect of God as opposed to simply honoring man. The fear of God is the biblical way of saying it. The fear of God is a starting place. What it boils down to is the willingness to die for our own agendas and to die to our conveniences. Christian character involves sacrifice, and that is something that the culture would not require of us. That is something that only faith would bring us to. We are called to be servants, not just honest people, but servants. Jesus said in the most serious terms, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Luke 17, verses 10. Christ lived out his character. Christ's likeness involves functioning in his power as well as living in the character of his person. We have a way of defining Christ's likeness as just being nice. And we overlook that it also means to be powerful in our use of the Holy Spirit's gifts and power. So who do you stand for, God or yourself? The next thing is mercy. As humans, we know we don't like to forgive people that easily, and sometimes we don't want to forgive people at all. We might say, "You are forgiven," but that doesn't mean that we have forgotten what you said or have forgotten what you did. Being forgiven does not mean that what you did was okay either. It only means that people will stop being angry and resentful for that action that you did. In Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." There's a story. A woman named Marion Hedges was shopping for Halloween candy for underprivileged children when she was hit by a shopping cart that was pushed from the second floor by two young boys. The woman suffered a serious brain injury, lost sight in her left eye, was briefly in a coma, and suffered several weeks of physical therapy. Through it all, though, she held no ill will against the boys. Marion forgave the boys and wished them well, and even said she felt sorry for them. Marion must have had a lot of love in her heart because we all know that every single one of us in this room would probably not have forgiven the boys that easily. However, even God's love and forgiveness for us is a lot bigger than that of Marion's. God forgives us for every wrong thing we do and every wrong thing we even think about doing. No one can love us greater than God does. We should be doing things to make him happy and not being worried about making the other people of this world happy. So do you stand for mercy? The last and most important topic for today is integrity. Every single relationship, whether it be a friendship, a marriage, or a family, is built on integrity. Proverbs 11, verses 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their deceitfulness." Everyone needs to be honest, but no one is honest all the time. Have you been dishonest in the last 24 hours? To be honest is to be real, genuine, and authentic. To be dishonest is to be partly feigned, forged, or even fake. We all want to be whole, complete men and women of integrity. The words complete and whole all share a common value. Integrity comes from the word integer, and we use it in reference to numbers. An integer is a whole number. Likewise, a person of integrity is a whole person or a complete person. In the end, that is what we want. For in the end, they don't say at your funeral or write on your tombstone how much money you made at work or your title at work, but what kind of person you were. As followers of Christ, we aren't honest because society tells us to be honest, because our society isn't even honest. And worse, it even rewards those who get away with dishonesty. I have another story about a child in honesty. This story occurs in Florida. A young lady was soaking up the sun's rays on a Florida beach when a little boy in his swimming trunks, carrying a towel, came up to her and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She was surprised by the question, but replied, "Why, yes, I do." Then he asked her, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" Again, her answer was yes. Then he asked, "Do you read your Bible and pray every day?" Again, she said, "Yes." But by now, she was very curious as to why the little boy was asking her all these questions. At last, the boy sighed and said with relief, "Will you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" Likewise, God is looking for some honest people, people in whom he can trust, people who will be honest in all their dealings, people whose walk matches their talk, people who keep the promises they make, people whose word is their bond. Will you be that person? I will now close with a poem called "What Do You Stand For?" Do you stand for compassion? Your friends are trash talking, but do you tell them they are wrong? Because it's easy to stay quiet while it takes courage to be strong. Do you stand for integrity, not caring who's watching, doing what you know you should while others are watching and wishing they could do what you could? Do you stand for mercy, holding on to grudges for way too long, forgiving someone for something they did wrong, or giving them another shot to be strong? Do you stand for character? Do you have any morals? Are you a trustworthy person or someone who's loyal? Do you look for something special, maybe something easy like an open door? If it's not everything you believe in, then what are some of the things that you stand for? Thank you.
Wow. Okay, I'm not going to do the daddy thing right now. But I will say that what she failed to tell you is that she wrote that poem. Okay? So can we hear it again for her? Yeah. Our next speaker today is someone that we all know. She's no stranger to us. She's been here for the past 8 or 9 years. Wow. And she's about to go off to college just now. Ladies and gentlemen, Chloe Walls is going to give us the next message. And this message is entitled "Christ-like Leaders." Ladies and gentlemen, please show some love for our sister, Chloe.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, first, I just want to thank God for Kelsey and letting God use her to deliver such an important message. So I'm going to start with a little scripture. I'm going to read Mark 10, verse 13 through 17. Jesus blesses the children. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." So Jesus was often criticized for spending time with the wrong people, like children and tax collectors and sinners, people that he should be spending time with. So some people, including the disciples, even thought that Jesus should be spending more time with important leaders. But I believe that children are also capable of being leaders like Christ. That is the vision that I have for the youth of Shepherd's Community Church. Children's love for God is important and should not be dismissed or overlooked. Matthew 19, verse 14 says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So what I want for the youth of Shepherd's Community Church is for us to all be raised as leaders. A leader is not simply someone who bosses people around or takes charge, but someone who is like Christ. A leader is someone who is passionate for what they believe in, someone who will rise to the occasion for God, and someone who will rule by example rather than command. So one quality of a leader is that they are passionate for what they believe in. An example of that is in Acts chapter 9, Paul, or at this time he was Saul. So Saul, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't want that to be true. And then the Lord sends Ananias to Paul, to Saul, and says, tells him to tell him that Jesus is the Messiah. So verse 17 says, "So Ananias went to and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And this was the moment that Saul's life changed. Verse 18 says, "Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained sight. Then he got up and was baptized." So just like that, Saul believed. So it's kind of like crazy to think that that would happen so quick, but it did. So after this, his passion for the Lord grew so strong. Saul stayed up with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and he immediately began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." And everyone was shocked because, well, he was just trying to kill the people who did believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So now he is saying that Jesus is the Messiah, and people were shocked. But his preaching became more and more powerful. And the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So people knew that what Saul was saying was real because they could see in the evidence in the way that he lived. So he was defending what he knew, and he lived that way. So how can youth show their passion for the Lord? Well, I think that we should do what Paul did and speak about it. I feel like if any child in here is moved or filled with the Holy Spirit, they should come up here and talk about it. I want to see more children on stage, not just on Youth Day, but any day. So how else can we show our passion for the Lord? Well, we have to read the Bible. We have to learn about our passion if we want to speak about it. So the Bible is what we use to defend our faith and what we use to back up our words. So one vision that I have for the youth is maybe we could have like a Bible book club type of thing. And maybe every week we assign a scripture or something to read and then come back the next week and talk about it. And maybe what we got from it, what do we interpret this as? Do we understand it? Do we like it? What do we think? And a way that the adults can help is ask us, what are we reading about? Ask us, do we have questions? Sometimes it's hard to ask, but if you approach us and you're open to answering questions for us, that's really helpful. And I know I'm going away to college very soon, but God gave us the internet. And maybe this book club could be on the internet, maybe through a chat room or whatever, but I would really like for us to read the Bible together. Amen. So another thing that I said about leaders is that they rise to the occasion. So that's what Isaiah did in chapter 6. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah has this vision that he sees the Lord, and he's on this throne, and he's high up, and he has angels around him, and it's glorious. And they're all saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." So this is kind of overwhelming, if you could imagine just seeing God up there like this in his light, angels around him, and they're yelling. So this was a lot for Isaiah, and he was overwhelmed, and he was scared because he knew that he was sinful. He knew what he had done. He felt as though he was filthy. And one of the angels flew to him with coal and placed it to his lips, and just like that, his sins were forgiven. So after this, he hears the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah had no problem standing up and saying, "Here I am, send me." So he stood up, he rose to the occasion, he was ready. He didn't know what was in store, what God was sending him to do, but he just knew that he wanted to do it. So I think that that's what you should do. If the Lord calls, you should answer. So how can we know if the Lord is talking to us? How do we know what he's saying? We should talk to God, listen to what he tells you, build an intimate relationship with God through prayer. So I have a little prayer challenge for the youth or anybody that wants to do it. But for the next 7 days, for 7 minutes, I want you guys to find a quiet place and get your timer or whatever, your phone, tablet, iPad, iPod, computer, all of that has timers on it. Set it to 7 minutes, and for 7 minutes, just talk to God. So don't give God half of your time. Turn the TV off, turn the music off, all of that, and just talk to God for 7 days, for 7 minutes. And really, all it takes to form a habit is 7 days. So hopefully after this, you'll go on and keep doing this for 7 minutes. And hopefully your timer will go off at 7 minutes, but you still have more to say, so you keep talking. So that's my challenge, 7 minutes for 7 days. And sometimes it's kind of hard. Well, when I was younger, it was harder to pray because, you know, what do I have to say? Some things that you can pray about is how you feel in your heart. Do you feel joy? Do you feel sorrow? Maybe you should pray for others. Maybe somebody at school was upset today. You don't know what's going on. Just pray for them. Pray for sinners. That's all we can do as Christians is pray for sinners. Pray for your own sins. Ask God for forgiveness. Show God your adoration. Thank him for everything that's going on in your life. Thank him for the food that you ate. Mom cooked good dinner. Thank him for the test grades that you got. Thank him for you knew the answers. It came to you during the test. That was God. Thank him for everything. So those are just a few things for you can, that you can pray about for your 7 minutes, for 7 days. And for those of you that do it, I hope everyone does it. I want to hear about it next week because I'm doing it too. So another thing that leaders do, Christ-like leaders, they rule by example rather than command. So one example of that is Joshua in chapter 24. So Joshua, he leads these people into a new land, and he gives the Israelites an option. So in verse 14, he says, "So fear the Lord and so serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now?" So he's giving them this option. You can either serve all of these gods, or you can serve the one God that brought us here. But he says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua didn't care what they were doing. He wasn't forcing them. He didn't tell them, "You have to believe in this guy." He said, "This is what I'm doing." And in this way, he took a definite stand for the Lord, and he displayed his spiritual leadership. Regardless of what they decided, because he had a commitment to God, he was going to do what he wanted to do. And they followed him. So that made him a leader. So if you want to be a leader, if you want someone to do something, you have to do it too. If you want your child to be like Christ, you should be like Christ too. So this week, I think I want everyone to be conscious of their behavior. Everyone has influence over someone, whether you know it or you don't. It may be your children or your coworkers or your friends at school, your younger siblings, your older siblings maybe, your cousins, all of that. Somebody influences someone. So how do you want your peers to be? You want them to be leaders in Christ. You should be a leader in Christ too. So what is a Christ-like leader? Someone who is passionate for what they believe in, someone who leads by example, and someone who will rise to the occasion for God. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." So I want the youth of Shepherd's Community Church to be raised as leaders, and they'll be leaders forever. This vision can only be made possible with the help of every person in the church. I think there's a saying, it takes a village. That's true. Thank you.
I ask you to just hang out here for a couple of seconds with me because I need some witnesses. Can I get a witness? And here's what my promise to you is. During her message, she says that she would love to see the kids more involved in church, not in church services, not just on Youth Day, okay? My pledge to you, that'll happen beginning next week, okay? Right? So you all signed on the dotted line as witnesses? We're going to make this happen, amen? Okay. And it's beginning next week, specifically because while I was sitting back there, Chloe, you're speaking, and I'm hearing the words you're saying, and I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. And one of the things that she said, she gave you that challenge, right? 7 minutes for 7 days. It's really a small number to ask, really. So 7 minutes for 7 days, and what she said is that she'll be asking you about it next week, correct? So next week, Chloe will be doing church life. Right? Where she will be asking you about whether you did the 7 minutes for 7 days and what your experience was or experiences were. So I just wanted a witness on that, right? The other thing is that, you know, our kids are so humble. Right? Because she came up here saying, well, you know, she might be going off to college and all this type of stuff, right? But what she didn't tell you is that she's been accepted. Amen. Right? Right? Hold on. Chloe is currently a student at Homewood Flossmoor High School, and she wants to go to university and major in engineering. Right? And she's been accepted to Ohio State University with a full 4-year ride. Okay, we have a perfect photo op. We have Chloe's mom right here, and Chloe, they are available for photo opportunities right now because Nodi is the official photo takeout. I made that announcement with mixed feelings because she not going to go to Ohio. Man, that's messed up. I mean, that's good. Okay. Thank you again, Chloe. Could we have another round of applause for our two youth? Yeah. God is working. Our next speaker this morning, I thought that it would be a really nice thing if we hear from a couple of the youth pastors. So when we have Youth Day, we slip in one of the youth ministers here. And the youth minister we're going to hear from, actually, she's involved. I mentioned her earlier. She's involved with the dancing and the singing and eventually all of the music that the youth will be participating in. And she's been doing this, you know, behind the scenes, well, except when she comes up here and does the conducting, but behind the scenes and typically unknown, right? So what I want to do is I want to, first of all, thank Linda Robinson very much for all of the work that she's been putting in with the youth in front the scenes and behind the scenes. And when she comes up, she's going to be giving us a little perspective. And her sermon title or message title is going to be, "What is your personal vision?" Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Linda.
Good morning, everyone. So I want to ask everyone, what is your vision? What is your vision? No one can truly answer that question until you answer a couple of other questions. The first question you have to ask yourself is, what are your God-given gifts? And it's individual for each person. Carol doesn't have the same gifts as Linda. Jen doesn't have the same gifts as Pastor. You might want to strive for something that you see that someone else has, but you truly have to find out what gifts did God give you. The second and the even deeper question that you have to ask yourself is, what are your human personality struggles? I have been reading a book called Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership, and it does call that part of you the dark side. So when you say dark side, it somehow might have a negative connotation, but it's truly that part of our human nature that everybody has that must be overcome. We have to be sober and truthful about whatever that dark side of ours is. Because rest assured, guess who knows it? God knows it. Satan knows it too because he manipulates it. But God knows it already, and it's up to us to be truly, soberly honest about that, and it will make a big difference in your spiritual life. How to do that is definitely you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I want to give an example that I know a lot of people can understand. So my grandkids, they loved Michael Jackson, right? So Michael Jackson could be a symbol of success here in this world. But it appeared that he did not love himself. He did not like the way he looked. He did not like a lot of things about himself, though from the outside, a lot of kids and people looked at him as very successful. And he was successful in the physical realm. So I want to take this time to talk about two parts of ourselves. One is the physical, and one is the spiritual. So we feed ourselves food, but we also feed our minds. A lot of times we feed our mind by osmosis. You could just be sitting in the car. And another example that I want to give for that is a lot of times I'm coming to church with my grandchildren, and they're like, "Mama, turn on the radio. Can we be quiet for a while?" If you think about it, it is very difficult. If you are used to feeding yourself constant stimulation, how difficult it is to just be quiet. You will really realize the brainwashing that has been going on in your life by listening to music, by just listening to people, by playing PlayStation. So let's talk about balance at this time. Say you spend all your time doing things that you like. I love to play Guitar Hero. I pretend like I'm a rock star, okay? So it's my dream, but I really can't play. You spend all your time playing PlayStation. After a few days, kids, you have to admit it, you get tired. And then you're looking for something else to stimulate you. So the physical always wants to please itself and have stimulation, stimulation. When do you feed your spirit? Have you ever looked at someone and they look pretty, they look nice, they smile, but you look in their eyes and they look sad? You can see it. That's because their spirit is hungry. Their spirit is hungry for something. And trust me, you cannot feed it with anything physical. So a lot of times, what's that saying? You support what you do, or no, your God is what you spend a lot of time with. So if you spend a lot of time doing whatever is not feeding your spirit, then that is your God. It's an ugly truth, but that is your God. If you spend your time on your phones all the time, guess what? That's your God. So it's only two ways. You either going to serve God or you're not. There is no valley of indecision. I'm my own man and own woman. I'm still figuring out who I'm going to follow. Uh-uh. You either are following God or you are not. So let's be sober about that. God doesn't need you. We need him. So we need to be aware of that. So let's just say secular religion makes you feel like you got a choice. So God's standing here going, choose me, choose me. He is saying it. But it is not for his benefit. And Satan is standing over there saying, choose me, choose me. But the thing is, God is saying, choose me because he loves you. He wants to save you from the deception of our mind. We have been deceived on this world, in this world, to feel like we should satisfy self. We should satisfy ourselves. You should be happy. But what about joy? I don't think we know what joy is. Joy is knowing where you're going. Knowing where you're going when you die. Because this world is only the proving grounds. So you're only here. See, God could just go, bam, now you will follow me. Bam, now you will follow me. But he doesn't want robots. He already got the angels. They'll do whatever he says. He wants you to choose him. And he's longing for you to choose him. So he'll let you go through things in life, not because he wants you to suffer. Because sometimes when we're sad, that's when we're thinking not of self, but we're looking up. So he uses sometimes these negative things that happens in our lives just so you are aware of the deception. So basically, if you don't know the Lord, you walking around like this. Okay? The deception has overtaken you. So God wants you to be aware of what we're going through on this earth. So I actually, from this book, Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership, I just wanted to read a part out of this book that made a big impact on me. It said, it is God's desire that we soberly examine ourselves to learn about the things that are motivating us and the fears and anxiety that always accompany leadership. I wasn't even going to talk about leadership until Chloe said it, because I didn't want people to feel like, well, I'm not a leader. We all are leaders. Just as Chloe said, we all represent the Lord, either if it's to one person, two people, three people, or like maybe a minister, a whole congregation. But we all have a part to play in God's plan for salvation. We are all affecting some lost sheep that has never heard of the true God. The true God. And you could be that example, every last one of us. So to go on, as we gain insight into our own issues, we must give more and more of our unhealthy motivation and fears over to God. Failure to do so will almost always result in decreased effectiveness, and the increased possibility of tragic failure. So, in this particular world, we are going to have suffering. Let's just admit it. You can either suffer or have negative occurrences, but have that divine protection around you where they really can't win against you. or you can still suffer and be lost completely and confused. I was coming to church today, and as I was driving down the street, there was a young lady in the middle of the street. She was just walking around, talking to herself, doing this in the middle of the street in front of my car. I stopped, and I did say a prayer for her, because though she looked nice, she had on nice clothes, her mind was gone. Her mind was overtaken with evil and negativity, be it drugs or be it just being lost. And honestly, that could happen to every one of us if we do not allow God to feed that part that we can't see, our spirit. So did you guys know the kids? Did you know that there are two existences? There's a spiritual world going on all around us that we cannot see with our physical senses. But it's happening. It's more real than we are. Okay? So you have to be able to navigate that unseen world. And you cannot do it in the flesh. It has to be spirit. So when you have God's Holy Spirit and you're praying through the Spirit and you spend that quiet time, as Chloe related to, you have to spend that quiet time with God so he can feed the Spirit so it can dispel what you see with your eyes. And that's what it's about. So Holy Spirit is definitely working, because I had a challenge for everyone. And I was like, Chloe said it. So I had a challenge, but I'm going to support Chloe's challenge. I had a 5-minute challenge per week, but I think Chloe had it more on point. We're going to go with 7 minutes. Just put everything down, turn everything off, and be quiet for 5 minutes. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be difficult, because your mind is going to wander. And that's going to prove to you that you have not been feeding your spirit. So just be honest. Just say, okay, God, say you've never done it before. I don't know what to say to you, but help me know what to say. I want to love you, and I want to know you. Help me do that. And then it was this movie called Polar Express. They had this saying that said, believe. They stole that from God, I'm telling you now. Believe. It's so many stories out here that they have made up from the foundation of what God put in our Bible. And if you look at a lot of movies, it's like, wow, a hero that comes and saves the world from destruction. They stole that from Jesus. Come on. So all of these things have been put out there as a deception for Satan. Because now you'll question, well, is God real? Is the stories in this Bible real? That's just what he wanted. He uses a bit of the truth, mixes it with lies, and hope that he deceives you. But God's people will not be deceived, because we will depend on our Savior to give clarity and balance to our life. So kids, it's okay to play PlayStation. It's okay to listen to music, but you cannot have a steady diet of that. You have to balance your life with spending time with God. And he will give you that peace, that joy, that happiness. So guess what? Your God cannot be a relationship, looking for a man, looking for a wife. It cannot be that, because even when you get it, that mate will let you down. Okay, you can't look for it in a father. If I just had my father around, if my mother was a better mother, guess what? Even the best of parents cannot be perfect. And then that will get you depressed if you depend on that. So I could name a lot of other money. Can't leave money out, right? It's nice to have money. It is nice, but it cannot be your driving force. It cannot be your God, or you're going to be sad. Didn't I talk about Michael Jackson? He still was sad in his spirit. You have to have that personal relationship, I'm telling you now. Because that will give you the ability to navigate this life and still have an inner peace that transcends all understanding. Amen. Okay. So there's a song by Crystal Lewis. It says, complacency can kill as a liar and a thief. Whispering thoughts of nagging tomorrows just beyond my reach. How many people have had dreams that they felt didn't come to fruition? I wanted to be an actress. Did you guys know I wanted to go to Hollywood? Yeah. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to do all of these things. But I realize that this is what God meant for me. He meant for me to do just what I'm doing today. Even though I became a respiratory therapist and a manager, he used that avenue for me to give a testimony about my life, to talk to other women that are hurting, people that are hurting, because I too was hurting once in my life, but I am so happy. I am so at peace in my life. I'm not married. I don't have a husband, but guess what? God is my husband. God is my father. God is my mother. Even though my wonderful mother is still alive today, that's where my motivation comes. And then when I'm sad, and I still get sad, I go on my knees and I tell them about it. And when I get up, woo, 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 it's a peace that transcends all understanding. And even, so I know a lot of people think, I was telling my aunt, I'm not always happy. You can't always be happy. Because I am still in the flesh and I'm still affected by my wicked heart. I'm still affected by somebody saying something mean or hurtful to me. But when I take it to the Lord in prayer, he tells me what it really means. And then that blindness that I had on, poof, it's gone. So take the 7-day challenge that Chloe has given to us. Children and children at heart. Take the 7-day challenge. Go in the quietness of your spirit. Tell God about everything, because guess what? He already knows. He's just waiting for you to bring it to him. He will not always say yes. He will not always do it the way you think it should be done. But all things work together for the good of those who love God. He takes a negative and turns it into something positive you didn't even know you needed. So that's how he works. I want to close with something. My niece, Brianna, I think she might have been 2 or 3 years old. She used to say, number one, do nothing. Number two, do something. So what is your vision, church? What is your vision? I say, brothers and sisters, let's go all go out and do number two. And I don't mean the physical number two. To God be the glory.
Amen, amen. Could we show our appreciation again for our 3 speakers? You know, there was, I don't know if you all notice, when Holy Spirit works, it's an incredible thing. Because these 3 individuals, to my knowledge, they never got together. And yet we got a message, and if I were to pull all 3 messages together, it's going to look something like this. I'm not going to be speaking for 50 minutes, it's just 2 minutes, right? There's a song that goes, I'm forever grateful for the cross, right? I'm forever grateful that you came to seek and save the lost. Amen? Because that's what God is about. That's what Jesus is about. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're about. But sometimes what happens is that we assume that just because we are sitting in church that we ain't lost, right? Remember, the church is not a sanctuary for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Amen? So the fact that we are sitting here saying that, you know, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with you. Right? Because if you were fine, if you were perfect, you wouldn't be here, right? You'd be sitting up there with God and dancing around the place and having a good old time with my mama, okay? But you're not there. So which means something wrong. And we have some lost among us. And as was said by Linda, you know, we lost. We have kids who are lost. We are lost because of finances. We are lost because of illnesses, and all these types of things compete for our attention, and we are lost. And one of the speakers today talked about, well, the need for character, integrity, compassion, mercy. What's that? That's God, right? Because the bottom line there is we're talking about love. So we are looking at developing the individual, and we don't develop the individual. It's God in us that creates that character, that integrity, that compassion, and that mercy. That's God, because by ourselves we can do nothing, right? And then once we have that, and while we have that, we have opportunities to put those things into practice, and I prefer to say to learn exponentially. So in developing character, integrity, compassion, and mercy, we have opportunities also to work with others, both in subservient and in leadership positions. And that's what Chloe was talking about. Things that we can do to develop leadership in the youth. And then we ended up with Linda speaking about, you know, once we are developing the character, God is working with us and developing leaders, and everyone is a leader, right? Different type of leaders. Everyone in this room is a minister. Everyone. Okay? So what God is doing is he's developing the leadership and developing the ministry of saints. And he's saying that, okay, now that I've developed you, I need you to go out and talk. Big me up in the eyes. Any Jamaicans in here? Big me up in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what the life of the disciple is about. It's about making God big. I mean, he's already big, but in the eyes of other people, sometimes we are so lost we don't even see him. Sometimes we are so lost that we don't even know he exists, or we forgot what he looks like. And then what happens now is that God is saying, okay, you have the character, you have the integrity, you have the love, the joy, the peace, you have other opportunities to develop those things in your life. Now I want you to go out and tell somebody else about it, right? So one of the ways that we tell people about it, we are about preaching the gospel message. And as I said during budgetary meetings, a lot of our finances is going to be, you know, geared towards the youth. Right? And with all of the things that we plan on doing, sending these kids to camp and sending them to various activities and playing music and whatever they want to do, as long as it glorifies God as much as possible, we want to be able to assist them in doing those things. And in doing all of that, of course, there are some things that we can do without it, yeah. But in the world that we live in, there's a need for money. So I'm here to ask you, as you prepare your offering for today, consider some of the words that were spoken today, and also consider quite a bit of the things that we plan on doing next year and the year after that. We are no longer in the business of paying for a magazine to go all over the world, if you know what I mean. We are investing in the lives of people, whether it be people that the little ones and the big ones, okay, that are sitting here in this room, in this building, or whether it be people outside of the building. The investment that we are called to make is in people. And reality is that God says, you know what? You have a responsibility. And God gives us the opportunity to participate in the work that he's doing already. Because we're not the first believers here. The work of God has been going on long before we came on board. We're joining in what he's already doing. Right? So what are we going to ask now is that as you prepare your offering, consider some of the things that were said today. Consider the vision that you have for the church and the plans that God has said that he has for the church.